All right. Here we are, podcast 9, Cowboys Ride for Free. Week after K-State, looking into the coming up on the Baylor game. So we're going to be giving a little bit of our thoughts on K-State and what to expect from Robert Griffin and the Baylor Bears. So, first up, I'm going to review a little K-State. Solid game, plenty to be disappointed about, but solid performance. Did what we had to do to win with our depleted receiver staff and all that. So, Royal, you know, start us off talking about your impressions of the K-State game.
I think everyone pretty much had the same impression as far as, you know, we put a lot of yards up and didn't get many points. It felt like the entire game we were up at least 2 touchdowns, maybe 3, and the score just reflected because we kept, you know, just shooting ourselves in the foot with turnovers and, you know, that one fourth down and end up going our way, and then penalties. I don't know. It seemed like the entire game we were doing,
Those penalties suck. There are a lot of drive killing penalties and drive helping out their drive penalties.
Yeah. So I don't know. The whole game felt like, you know, it should have been one of those games that we may have lost. I know that's sounding really, really cliche the more and more we use it, but it sounds like one of those games we would have lost years in the past. Are you being attacked at Dan by a dog again?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
This dog thing.
There's nothing I can do about it. We have a
fourth member of the staff, and it's Pinsy the tag dog. That's great.
Yeah.
This tag dog is brought to you by Sonic, by the way.
Yeah.
Sonic.
Yeah.
Moving forward. But,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
I felt like it was a good road win. I mean, you can never complain about a win on the road. And without Blackman, I think the game showed how much we really missed Blackman, especially in that first half, because I think a lot of the times when we were on the K-State side of the field, those were the times where Blackman would have gotten wouldn't have dropped the ball, and we would have scored. I think it's kind of safe to say that if Blackman would have been in a game, we would have won by 2 more touchdowns, I think. So, but, you know, it's a win. Yeah, it's a win. The defense stood up. They did their job. Special teams, since he owes us all PBRs, because special teams.
They were huge.
Definitely did. Yeah, they did their job. Quinn Sharp, I mean, 4 punts inside the 9. And give it up to Johnny Thomas, who friggin' had the game of his life.
Yeah.
And, the entire, the defense and the special teams all did really well, except for the defense with their stupid penalties. I mean, I know the one Ori Lemon roughing the passer was kind of a BS call, but the rest of them just seemed like, I mean, Kansas State got 6 first downs off of penalties. That's just stupid. So hopefully we'll be able to minimize those coming up in this next against Baylor.
Hey, was there any, I don't remember seeing anything, and I kind of forgot about it the day after, but Big 12 didn't review that Broderick Brown hit, did they?
No, I don't think they did. I know Mike Gundy was pissed about it, and like he was fuming the call was even made, but maybe that was enough to deject the committee from doing anything. I don't know. The more I think about it, I know that they said it was on the illegal hit by the Nebraska guy, but I've got to think that a lot of it had to do with the way the guy acted after he hit him, and then laughing about it on the sideline. And I know that they'll say, you know, it was just the helmet to helmet, but I think more than anything I know this is stupid, we've been talking about this like crazy, but I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that his actions afterward made it look like it was a flagrant shot because of the way he was boasting about it instead of just walking away. But yeah.
And that one really wasn't kind of in the flow of the game either nearly as much as the Broderick Brown one was so boom. They never showed a good enough replay to be able to tell, honestly. And he may have, may not, I don't know, but it was just a boom, boom thing. I mean, the Nebraska dude pretty well lined him up.
Yeah.
He kind of measured his steps and really lined him up. And, I mean, just the whole thing around it, according to the new rule, it deserved a suspension. But, I know that's 2 weeks ago, but Cincy, your thoughts? Quick thoughts on the K-State performance?
Yeah, well, I was wrong. I was wrong, and, you know, it's good to see.
Takes a big man.
I admit it. I know, it does. It takes a really big man to admit his defeat. No, I tell you what, the thing that I like the most is that the coaching staff really looked at the problems they were having on special teams, and you know, they threw some veterans out there to play. I think Ori was on special teams.
Markell was, I know. I mean, he was right there next to Thomas.
Yeah. So they replaced some freshman guys with some veteran guys to just kind of give the kickoff coverage team some more experience. And, you know, that has to be commended. I think there's a lot of years that wouldn't have happened. We just kind of would have been stubborn and stuck to our ways. And, it's just good to see that if we're struggling, they can make changes, you know. So that's what I take. Other than that, I mean, it's, you know, great road win. You know, you're without your star, and you win by 10 points, should have won by a lot more. Definitely felt like we were winning by a lot more. You know, nice to see the other guys like Bowling and Randall and Isaiah Anderson step up. So great win. You know, and big game this week.
Yeah, the only thing I kind of disagree with on all that a little bit, I mean, don't get me wrong, Blackman's a stud, but I mean, I really think a lot of it wasn't just the Blackman missing. I mean, I thought the passing attack was still pretty solid, 280-something yards or whatever. I mean, granted, yeah. it's below our average, but I mean, that was partially because the game plan changed as well. But I mean, it's also the thing that no one's really been talking about, Tracy Moore being out, I mean, Anium being out. You're talking about your three most skilled receivers. I mean, the three that possess the best skill set to be receivers all out in the same game. I mean, I don't know any team in the Big 12 that could handle that. I mean, honestly,
no.
I don't know that any team could win with that happening. Your three best, at least skill-wise. I mean, I'd say Cooper's probably the second best, you know, number two receiver, but, you know, overall skill-wise, he's probably not. He's just a
smart
receiver.
Well, you look at it now. You look at it now, too. I mean, I remember the talk in the summer about how, you know, we don't have any wide receiver depth. And, I mean, damn, you look at it now and, you know, Bowling, Cooper, Anium, Blackman.
Hill. Don't forget
Moore,
Hill.
Yeah, T. Hill or whatever. you know, Ward.
You have
out of the backfield.
Randall.
You know,
yeah, Randall coming out of the backfield.
Randall.
And by the way, can we just go ahead and mark it down that seam route to Randall needs to be run at least two times
a
game?
A lock.
And that play is so beautiful.
It is.
Like it looked the exact same. It looks like it was the exact same play that we did against A&M
doing
for a touchdown. It just basically puts Randall against the middle linebacker, and he doesn't have a chance.
It's so, and they just run all the receivers out, and then they just run Randall right up that seam, and it just clears the whole middle. It's just such a nice play. I mean, I don't. Maybe it has been run and just it hadn't been open. I don't know, but. And it just seemed with the way Randall, I mean, he turns into a receiver when he's out there. I mean, the catch in the A&M game was an excellent catch. I mean, it was, I mean, dropped right in over his shoulder. It's a catch most running backs can't make.
No, the kid is good.
All right. I mean, I think everyone pretty much, it was probably our most boring game of the season. I mean, not a lot of excitement, but one, did what we had to do, down some players. And now we got everyone back for Baylor. So I guess, Royal, if you want to start us off, I know you're not calling in to 1430 The Buzz like you were earlier today to talk about the Baylor game. But
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, we've got radios.
Yeah, we do.
Who has radios?
I have no idea
what radios are.
We own radios. By the way, yeah, just hearing you. Cincy actually called me since I don't live in Tulsa. And turned it up loud and held the phone up. It was great.
Cincy's a real big dick.
I do. Oh.
Wait, what?
So anyway, what do you think going into Baylor? The Baylor, big bad Baylor team.
Well, let Cincy tell you.
Yeah, just repeat what you
said. Let's just play it over. I think that they're better than they have been in past years, but I don't think that they're yet at the level where, you know, I think everyone's pumping them up to be better than they are. I think they went into Texas and they won that game. And had they not won that game, nobody would even be talking about Baylor as being a challenge. But because they did, they're a big deal right now. They're contending for the South. But in reality, besides Texas, their wins in the conference have came against Colorado, Kansas, and Kansas State, who was at home. The Colorado game was at Boulder, and they barely edged out that win. It was like, it was a one touchdown game, I think. And
like 27-25 or 31-20. Yeah, it was close.
Yeah. It was something close. So I mean, and then they lost to Texas Tech on the road in a neutral site game, and that game was 7-point difference. But really, it was less than that, or it should have been more than that if Texas Tech knows how to cover an onside kick. But that's the only reason why that one was that close. So I don't know. I mean, Robert Griffin is obviously a stud. I just don't think that they necessarily are there yet on the level where everyone should be panicking about them. I don't think that they're going to do the same things that Nebraska was able to do. I just don't think that they have that skill set. I think that, I don't know. I don't think that their players are that advanced. I don't think that they have those kind of athletes yet. And their defense is still really bad. I mean, it's not that good. I mean, and I'm not saying ours is much better, but I know that we have the athletes. We have a much faster defense than they do. And I think it's going to be a matter of time, I think, in the third or fourth quarter where they're just going to get worn down and they're not going to be able to hang with us either on offense or on defense. So you try to take Robert Griffin out of the game, obviously, first and foremost, and then you just kind of do your thing on offense and control the clock. I'm not sure how much clock control will go into the game, but I'd have to think that, you know what I mean, if we can run the ball on them and keep Robert Griffin on the sideline, that's the best strategy to go with. And, I mean, the more we can utilize Kendall Hunter and Joseph Randall, I think the better off we'll be. I think we should be able to win this game, and, you know, the fourth quarter shouldn't be that much of a big deal.
Mm-hmm. I will guarantee that if we do win this game, on Monday, all you'll hear about is how we still have yet to have a quality win, even though going in the talk is it. How many times has that happened this year? Five? I mean,
every game.
Yeah, it's pretty much every week. Well, this is going to be a big. They're finally going to play a big team. They're finally going on the road. There's always something that we're finally getting tested, and then every week it's article after article about how we're still unproven.
We could have beaten Nebraska, and they would have turned around and said that Nebraska was overrated.
Yeah, they were just coming off the Texas game, and there would have been it's that media perception of that national. It's not even so much media; it's a national perception. You're still the team everyone thought you were in August, even if you're playing completely differently. It's got to somehow be a fluke that you're playing like that.
Yeah,
you're still got to be that team that we thought you were in August. So. Anyway,
my favorite one of that. Well, I'm going to stay on this subject.
I already.
My favorite is the Tulsa fans. Before we're playing Tulsa, the local media, Tulsa can throw the ball. They're high scoring offense. Look out.
Yeah.
Go shut them down. Swear to God, that Monday they're talking about just how awful Tulsa is.
Yeah.
How terrible they are, how the coaching just hasn't been there, recruiting hasn't been there, the talent level just isn't what it was. Fast forward a few weeks, they go to Indiana, beat Notre Dame, and Tulsa is the greatest win in the history of the program, and Tulsa played so well, and it's bullshit, and I guarantee you, if we beat Baylor, it's going to be Baylor's not there yet. They're going to disappear from the top 25.
You beat Baylor. Way to go.
Big deal. You beat Baylor. They lost to Tech. And it's the shit we're saying now the media will pick up on. And it's just, you know, whatever.
That's the whole thing. If Baylor wins this game, they think that, you know what I mean, the media's already talking about, well, Baylor goes into Stillwater and gets a win. Oh, you better watch out. And, you know, at freaking Baylor in Waco. And then if Baylor happens to lose this game, then it's going to be, oh, Baylor's going to lose the rest of games the rest of the season to any team they play in the South. I mean, it's just like, okay, so what does that say? Are you taking away from Baylor? Are you giving us credit? Because, I don't know.
Basically, what Oklahoma State is this year is like a barometer for if every team we play is great or terrible. Like, as soon as Nebraska beat us, they were considered a great team. And every team we beat, the day after, they're terrible. They're considered just national perception. They're terrible. So I don't know. It's we're like the ultimate barometer this year, I guess, for whatever reason. So I mean, I guess we're. It's easy to get to bitching about the media stuff a lot, but Cincy, on the field stuff, Baylor, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll tell you the stat that kind of pops out at me the most is you look at the teams that they played. They really haven't played that great a schedule.
61st ranked schedule, according to Sagarin.
Okay.
And they've lost two games. We've played the 51st toughest, and we've lost one game. So.
Right. You know, you look at their schedule. They lost badly to TCU. You look at that game. Their running back had 165 yards and two touchdowns. They go to Boulder. Their running back Rodney Stewart has, 150 yards and two touchdowns.
31,
they lose
125.
31-25. Okay. And then they play Texas Tech at the Cotton Bowl, lose that game, and guess what? Baron Batch and Eric Stevens combined for 150 yards and two touchdowns. So I don't think there's any way that Kendall Hunter breaks that trend. I think he'll get in for a couple touchdowns. Worst case, our running game as a whole will absolutely run all over them. And I think if we can run all over them, we keep Griffin off the field, we control the clock, and I think we beat him in a grinder.
By the way, I just looked it up, and Baylor gives up 153 yards and 1.5 touchdowns on the ground again.
It's remarkable.
I guess all your what you were just saying is pretty accurate.
Yes, it is. No, I've got another data point. Daniel Thomas in Waco, 120 yards, or 100, I think it was 113 yards, two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lock. I mean, they cannot stop the run. At least they haven't shown that they can, and they're really not any better against the pass. The thing that jumps out is they lost to Tech, we went to Lubbock and kind of handled Tech. And so, I'm not – nothing Baylor has done really impresses me all that much, to be honest. And
well,
so
– and in this Kansas State game, I mean, that was in Waco, and they barely beat them 47-42. I mean,
yeah, they were up big. K-State came back late, but still, they let K-State move the ball on them pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, well, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's, I don't know. On the road, everything that they've done has been really, really close, or they've lost. I mean,
yes.
That's just basically how that goes. I mean, at Texas, they won by 8 points. Texas Tech, they lost. Colorado, they won by 6 points. So, I mean,
yes.
I just don't
not
see
drilled
them.
By TCU. Fucking drilled.
Yeah, 45-10. 45-10
points.
They got absolutely handled.
Yeah. That's early in the game. Your offense is really, Griffin is that good. He's that much of a game changer. He's going to get more than 10 points.
Yeah. I mean, he's good. I don't know about our defense against the dual threat. I mean, really, the only one has been Taylor Martinez, who played the game of his career, potentially. And, I mean, we got caught in a scheme thing. I mean, a lot of things happened in that Nebraska game, obviously, but I don't.
And 33 tackles.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to happen again. I really don't.
Right. Griffin doesn't have the athletes around him that Martinez has either. So, I mean, I don't see it going that way. by any means, but I mean, I kind of hate getting trapped in that how we played against common opponents thing because it's so matchup driven, you know. And you go in circles with team A beats B and then B beats C and C beats A kind of thing. Who's really better?
Comparative scoring never works.
Right, but the thing that after watching last week, and I know every defense has their strengths and weaknesses, but I have such a hard time with any team that lets that K-State team run up and down the field on them. I mean,
how does that happen?
That offense just looked awful. And I mean,
throw for more than 200 yards. I mean, for 300 yards. What are you doing on defense to allow him to throw four fucking touchdowns and 400 yards?
I mean, a couple of them were late. I think they went into a little bit of a prevent in the fourth quarter and gave up some of those stats late, but they still were putting it on them. I mean, they were still scoring early too. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think you got, at home especially, I think you got to pick a Oklahoma State win. I haven't looked at the line yet. I'll pull it up right now, but,
it was 7.5.
Is that what it is?
Time I picked, but it was going up. It was increasing in Oklahoma State's favor. So, I don't know.
I mean, it is,
you know, none of that really, that all mainly has to do with where they think they're going to bet. They don't necessarily. So.
Yeah, it's up to 7.5 on most of them right now, so opened at 7.
Yeah. Either way, I don't know. I think LSU will win. I think people are kind of a little skittish because of Robert Griffin, you know, and he has become a better passer. I mean, he's only thrown 5 interceptions all year long, but you know, I can't say how many of those passes have been downfield and how many of them have been bubble screens and things like that. So I can't really speak intelligently to, you know, how skilled those throws were. So, but either way, I don't know, man. I just can't see them coming into Stillwater with one weapon and being able to do much. I mean, and by one weapon, I mean on the entire team. I mean, offensively and defensively. So, I think LSU will win this one. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout, but I don't think it'll be very tight either.
Do you have access to his? Has he turned 10 touchdown passes?
Hold on, I can look at it.
Because I'm remembering that I think he's thrown 5 touchdown passes that were 40 yards or more. So that kind of answers, you know, what kind of passes is he throwing? If it's 10, I'm pretty sure 5 of them.
20 touchdowns.
20 touchdowns. 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. That's how many he scored. That's passing. He has 27 total touchdowns, 7 are rushing, 20 are passing. So.
Oh, he's legit. No doubt.
He has good numbers. I just don't know. Hold on.
Let me see. I mean, I'm never going to feel safe when their offense is on the field. I mean, I had that same feeling with Martinez. It's just because play-by-play, that potential for us to make one mistake on defense and pay for it, and we saw it on a few plays against Nebraska. It's going to be there with the dual threat, whether it's with his legs or his arm. It's going to be there. I don't think Bill Young will play up nearly as much, I mean, especially because Baylor's shown they can throw. So, I don't think we'll be stacking 7-8 guys up as close to the line as we were against Nebraska. So it'll take away a little bit of that deep passing threat. And plus, we don't have to worry about Jay Finley quite as much as we did Helu and all the other stuff they run.
I don't know. Jay Finley.
He's had some good games, but he's not.
Turn it on.
Yeah.
Turn it on. He's got 500 yards and 5 touchdowns in his last 3 games.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Oh, yeah. And Texas still does have a solid defense, and he had some stats against them. So, I mean.
Yeah.
But that gets opened up by Griffin. I don't anticipate us holding Baylor under 28 or anything like that. I mean, I'd say somewhere in the high 20s to low 30s, and then, it may just be a complete shootout, too. I mean, I can easily see Oklahoma State scoring 50 in this game, and I don't know, but.
Yeah.
Check this out. For his passing touchdowns, 13. Well, let's break it down. Let me see. One of them was a 94-yard bomb for a touchdown all season long. Three of them have been 61 yards or longer. Seven of them have been in between the 40s, the 40-yard lines. So yeah. Seven of his touchdowns have been for, 40 to 60 yards long. And then six of them have been for anywhere from 21 to 40 yards long.
Yeah, and so I mean, that's... 13.
Basically, the bulk of his passing touchdowns are bombs. Yeah. That's basically what that stat means. 13 to 20.
That's what the dual threat quarterback does, because it brings the safeties closer to the line. And, I mean, even a 5-yard right. pass, you don't have safety containment over the top, so it can break for 60 yards pretty easily. Or it can, you got guys too, and you throw it over the top because all the safeties and stuff are playing up. Whatever the case may be, I mean, that's what he does to teams. You wear them down, and then you hit them with a big play. I mean, it's kind of essentially the same thing we do. We just don't do it with a quarterback. We do it with Hunter and Randall and then go over the top to Blackmon. I mean, it's
same
plan. So, I mean, it's
does Young of, just commit? I mean, does Young just commit to just pressuring the hell out of Griffin and just bring, five or six guys?
I think he learned his lesson after Martinez. I think you contain and you force him to beat you with passing out of the pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to try to move him around anyways, but if you can contain him and force him into being a pocket passer, I mean, he loses so much of his effectiveness.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is that the bend but don't break defense may actually work the best against Baylor. Listen to his completion percentage inside the 20 is 37%.
Yeah.
He's 12 for 32 and has three touchdowns and one interception.
I watched that Texas Tech Baylor game and there he definitely struggled in the red zone there. I mean, they had several drives that just kind of stalled out.
Maybe that's the key. Maybe we let them inside the 20 and then we just stiffen up and then they're kicking field goals all game long while we're scoring touchdowns.
Just onside kick every time, just so they're starting there. Maybe we'll recover one or two.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll recover one or two.
Yeah,
exactly.
Revolutionary, yeah.
That would be so great.
Well, and I mean, that all makes sense. Everything's predicated on the safeties keeping containment over the top. I mean, the closer you get to the goal line, the easier it is for safeties to creep up and play run and pass. Further you're out down the field, there's more green to cover. And that's what he does. He sucks them up by rolling out and threatening to run, brings them up, and then he throws it over the top. I mean, that's really what their whole offense is predicated on. And we saw it with Zach Robinson. That's essentially what he did as well. And I mean, he wasn't nearly as talented as Robert Griffin, at least in the running aspect, athletically. But I mean, it's essentially the same plan. I mean, so it's just going to be all on Bill to what we can do to stop him, I guess.
Who do you think is more talented in the pussy department, Zach Robinson or Robert Griffin III?
I'd probably be close. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah?
You don't have as much of a primo choice in Waco, though?
Or do you?
Oh, you do. Oh, man.
Never mind.
I don't know if they'd be as willing in Waco.
It's going to be a lot of pissed off fathers in Waco. a lot of ministers' daughters doing awful things.
Dancing and blowing their D3.
Just a question.
I think Blue Eyes has got it. I think Zach Robinson's got it made in the state.
Yeah,
I think so, easily.
I don't know.
Even with that ridiculous Friars, or whatever kind of haircut they gave him.
Yes, that was great.
Yeah, the Patriots. I can't remember what it looked like, but it was awful. All I remember are girls still saying I would still drop my panties. I was like, well, fuck. If he's going to have that success with that horrible-looking hair, I'm screwed. I mean, there's just no hope for me.
Yeah. Well, all right. When we started comparing P resumes between quarterbacks, I think it's time to wrap it up.
Okay.
So that'll do it. Cowboys are out for free. Podcast 9. Thanks. Later.